Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Steve Bloomfield. In this episode, Monocle's New York Bureau Chief Ed Stocker explains how America votes.
This US election cycle has been going on for so long that it's sometimes hard to remember where it all began. But cast your mind back for a moment to June of last year when, ending years of speculation, business mogul and reality TV star Donald J. Trump announced that he would be running for the Oval Office.
And we are going to make our country great again.
There have been so many unexpected twists and turns since that watershed moment that probably changed American politics forever, that it would be easy to forget that we're now, finally, at the business end of all of this. Because General Election Day, November the 8th, is within touching distance. So how will America be voting? The first thing to note is that scores of Americans have already done it, thanks to many states that facilitate early voting. And you don't even need a good reason to want to tick that box earlier than usual, unlike absentee ballots. Indeed, on average, over 30% of the populace votes before Election Day, and the number could be as high as 50% in key swing states, such as Florida. As for why Americans head to the polls on Tuesday, if they haven't voted early, of course, we can blame farmers and religion for that. Technically, the US general election has to be held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. So if November the 1st is a Tuesday, as is the case this year, then the election has to be held a week after that. Back in the 19th century, when the law was made, Sabbath and Wednesday market day meant Tuesday was the obvious compromise. But once you've actually cast your vote, how much does it count? Well, that really depends on where you live in the country. If you're in a solidly red or blue state, perhaps you won't make that much difference. If you're in a so-called swing state, a state that could go either way, it arguably matters more. The US system isn't actually based on the popular vote. We only need to look back to the 2000 election and the controversial Florida recount, when Al Gore won around 500,000 more votes than George W. Bush, but lost the election, to see this in action.
I actually did exactly that and asked for a full recount of the entire state. And it was rejected.
Instead, it's actually a body called the Electoral College that decides the next president of the most powerful nation on earth. Each state is allotted a certain number of the 538 seats in the college, with a winning president needing 270 to clinch it.
The whole number of the electors appointed to vote for president of the United States is 538. Of which a majority is 270.
Win a state, Republican or Democratic, and you sweep all the seats in that state. Seats are allocated to each state based on population. So a large populous state like California, for example, has 55 seats, and bordering depopulated Oregon has just 7. Traditionally, the progressive coasts vote blue and the interior of the country votes Republican. Except this year, of course, anything might happen, and a state like Arizona, red for the last 20 years, is threatening to change colour. But even if electoral mathematics mean Hillary Clinton crushes Donald Trump, in terms of the popular vote, it may end up being a much closer contest, meaning fixing what has become an increasingly polarized nation post-November the 8th looks tricky indeed, regardless of the outcome.
That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. My thanks to Ed Stocker for this week's episode. Tune in this Saturday for the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. And of course, don't forget the global election, which is available for download from Friday. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.